Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast. Enjoy the show.
Anyway,
all right.
On to some fun Bible stuff. I'd like everybody to get out their Bibles.
All right.
We had a conversation, and this is a conversation that I've had a few times with the different churches that I've been at about. Well, we'll get into it in just a second. I don't want to bury the lead, but let's get into John chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. I want to share this verse with you. This is tied into the message on Sunday, and we talked about this in our staff, but there's something about church identity. It's mm-hmm. it's something that it's what we call, the word is polity, and polity is a fancy way of saying how we do church together. Like what is our identity? Like mm-hmm. like the Janky family mm-hmm. has a polity. Mm-hmm. It's who you guys are. It's what you are together. Mm-hmm. That's what shifty. They may say polity. Dana calls it shifty.
Yeah.
That churches have that too. And so the term is polity.
Okay.
All right. So and polity is important. And so turn to John 1, verses 29 through 42. And this talks a little bit about a church's polity.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So can we read around? Dana doesn't have a Bible app with her. Come on, Dana. Don't be a party pooper.
He brought three physical copies
like for everybody. Bible.
You should have brought your phone.
I thought I had my phone up until the minute we sat down and he was like, I brought you Bibles. And I was like, what for?
Apps exist. They're so much easier. Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, I don't have. Want me to actually find it?
Oh, yep. My goodness.
1779-ish.
Old school.
Literally, I just click it and then it goes to where it yeah. should be.
John chapter 1, beginning at verse 29.
Where is John in this thing?
Where it is in every other one.
I honestly, at this moment this in actually, time, couldn't tell you.
I think this would be my version, like that's having to remember where to find in like an actual Bible, not on my app. That would be like my millennial challenge. I just use absolutely. My Bible app for everything.
I'm like, oh, great. I don't yep. actually know where anything is in this
yep.
thing.
I'm so used to the phone one.
Where are we going?
That's so true. The John chapter 1.
The phone
beginning at verse 29. And Ryan, if you would start, we'll go this way. That way Dana has time to catch up.
I'm going
to
get confused. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.
All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
John chapter 1, verse 31.
Oh, I'm way off. My bad.
I was like, wait a minute, I thought I found the right
one. That's a good one, though.
Ah, I was at the beginning. Okay. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel.
And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.
I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.
The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples.
And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God.
The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus.
Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying?
He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour.
One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother.
He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ.
He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, so you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Okay, so the first question that I want to lift up is, John twice points to Jesus, John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is at the beginning of John. This is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And John the Baptist has his own disciples with him. One of them is Andrew. Okay. And the other one may very well be John, the son of Zebedee. John, the one who writes the Gospel of John.
Okay.
Okay. Because he's an eyewitness to all this stuff. And John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start just there, because he brings it up twice. He sees Jesus again, and he'll say, "Behold the Lamb of God." What do you think it means that John calls Jesus the Lamb of God? Now, keep in mind, he says this about Jesus, and then John's disciples, who've been following John the Baptist, leave him to follow Jesus. So what was it in calling him the Lamb of God that issued to his disciples? And, you know, you can look at all that John packs into that. Lamb of God presupposes everything that John says after that about Jesus. But what is it about calling Jesus the Lamb of God that makes the disciples go and you know, follow Jesus and leave John the Baptist? What would it mean to them? Or what do you think it means when he says you're the Lamb of God? What does that convey to
you? Well, we're, I mean, this is coming after the fact, right? So we know that it means that he's going to be the sacrifice for all of our sins. But to them, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
or would that have been?
Why do we know that it's the sacrifice for all of our sins? What was the imagery of a lamb that comes up? Because it's the same for us as it was for them.
Sacrifice.
Yeah.
A sacrifice.
For sinning.
Yeah, a sacrifice for sinning. Why is a sacrifice necessary? Have you ever thought about that before?
Why a sacrifice is necessary?
Yeah, take it away. Don't even think about, like, religious, churchy stuff. Like, every religion, every people everywhere, regardless of any background, has practiced some form of animal sacrifice or personal sacrifice since the beginning of humans. Why do you think that is?
It's to replace something or in the place of something.
Okay. So what would be, what I guess I'm wondering, like what is it? There's like a primal need to sacrifice in order to gain what?
Forgiveness, free, or
well, whatever it is that you're sacrificing,
right?
In the name of,
yeah, because not everybody is sacrificing something for forgiveness, right?
Right,
to get something.
Yeah,
in every other sacrificial system, the sacrifice is given in order to gain the favor of a deity, or to control nature, or some other force beyond our comprehension. I mean, human sacrifice in ancient religions was most often done in order to gain the favor of a fertility god or goddess that brought, you know, you'd sacrifice to them to have a lot of children and to have a good crop so that you'd survive another season. But Judaism was interesting in that none of the sacrifices were for that purpose. It's something more primal.
Right.
If you've ever wronged somebody and you know it, like, it's not even a question. Like, you know that you did wrong.
Yeah.
What do you do in order to bring back an equilibrium in the wrong that you have caused? Even to a stranger.
Yeah.
What are you willing to do?
Bury it deep down and hide it away.
So I think it's something like...
Dana just swallows it all.
You try to do something to make it even, whether, like, it might not be the exact... like value equal, but
so you try to make amends, and in order to make amends, you need to sacrifice something. You need to give something up.
Yeah,
right.
You know, this is terrible, and I probably shouldn't bring this up.
Excellent, do it anyways.
Yeah, perfect.
But I'm two movies away from being done with the Saw.
Here we go.
Series.
Excellent. Right? Let's.
And where I'm struggling with this.
Hold on. I think you should write this podcast on boa constrictors, puce, polo shirts, and the Saw movies.
Yeah.
That's the title.
Serial killers.
Now you understand the title when you see it.
So where I'm struggling with this movie is everybody that he targets.
Dusty raspberry shirts. Okay, sorry.
No. Do they? No. Everybody that he targets has wronged someone else or has... proven that they're not worthy to keep their own life.
Okay.
And so to keep their life, they have to be tested, and typically they have to sacrifice something.
Interesting.
Might be a limb, might be someone else, something to prove that they appreciate their life.
Okay.
The universe needs balance, Ryan.
I'm kind of like it's really good in the sense that you're like, you know, I could almost get behind this Jigsaw guy.
Well, it sounds like Jigsaw is trying to be the personification of karma.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Karma, however, is not the way the world works.
Right.
It's actually a karmic philosophy is the desire for justice to be real,
mm-hmm,
in a chaotic world where from a primal place, there's an understanding that the world is unjust.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any justice in the universe, there'll be a cosmic balancing of the books.
Mm-hmm.
That's what karma's, you know, kind of based off of. And that makes total sense. I mean, from that guy, from the movies, this is something even more primal than that. This is like something within us that, when the universe isn't wrong, but we personally are wrong,
mm-hmm,
that it's not, we're not coerced into sacrificing. It's a self-chosen sacrificing. The point that I'm making is that there's something inborn in us that wants to right the wrongs that we have done by limiting ourselves in some way,
mm-hmm,
or giving up something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, in saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away basically the wrongs of the world," the religion of Judaism and the hope in the one who would come is deep within their belief system. And so they see Jesus as John basically saying, this is the one. And in saying that he's the Lamb of God, he's saying that he's the one that God has sent who's going to make everything right, because the Lamb was sacrificed, mm-hmm, in order to make amends for the sins of an individual that would affect the community. So everything was always communal. If you sinned,
mm-hmm,
then you needed to make a sacrifice in order to make amends. And the sacrifice was punitive in the sense that if you had more money, then you had to make a bigger sacrifice. If you had less money, in order to live in the presence of a holy God, which is what the law is about in the Old Testament, there was different levels of sacrifice that needed to be made.
Right.
If you were dirt poor, you could sacrifice a pigeon in order to buy back the firstborn son.
Which was still a lot, though.
Which was still a lot, but it was...
For them.
It was... for a peasant,
mm-hmm,
it was much more affordable than the lamb, for instance, which would have been like once a year, if that,
right,
on the Passover. So there's the sacrificial system was there for an imperfect, sinful people to be able to exist in the presence of a perfect, holy God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," and they go and follow him. Now, the next thing I want you to notice in hearing that Jesus is the Lamb of God, it says the two disciples heard him say this and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When people come to church, what do you think they're seeking? Why do people come to church? I mean, it's a real simple question. It's something to think about for ourselves, because being people that are leaders in the church, mm-hmm, are we hearing what people are seeking or not? Like, do we know what they're seeking?
I think it depends. I think it's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I think there's a lot of different answers.
Yeah. Tell me.
I would say there's some like common pillars, though. Usually, mm-hmm, like community, yeah, peace,
yeah,
forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when people come here on a Sunday, they're seeking community, they're seeking peace. How would they receive peace at church?
I think it goes like knowing that their sins are forgiven, knowing that like their sacrifice, kind of back to what we're talking about, has been accepted. And
so in the worship, mm-hmm, the sacrifice then would be showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And in showing up, they can hear words of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully they were somewhere where it was peaceful and they didn't have all of the other things going on, all the worries and cares of the world going on for, even if it's an hour.
So you can unplug. Mm-hmm. And so what is it about this place? What are they seeking? Like, are they seeking donut holes?
Depends.
5-year-old might.
Are they? My son is every time. That's the first place he's going.
And he's 10.
Yeah, and he's 10. You know, I was joking with someone that I like to have the Colombian coffee.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel fancy.
Sure. Yeah.
Even though I'm sure they're both like Folgers, Colombian and classical. We have two kinds of coffee and decaf.
Yeah.
You know, but they're not seeking donut holes. They're not seeking coffee, and yet we have those things. Mm-hmm. What are people seeking?
Are you talking to atonement in general or the church?
Well, I'm using our context, which is atonement, but you could use the church in general too. Uh-huh. But think about what people are doing on a Sunday morning and kind of like what is the expectations of people that want to be a part of atonement, for example, or any church. What expectations do they bring to the table?
See, here's the fishing. Man.
I'm not fishing.
No, but I know where you're going. I can feel it.
Again, I think it depends. Some people, I think, are coming to the reason they're coming is to either to learn. Some of them just want to come in and hear the word and get the forgiveness like Sarah was talking about. Mm-hmm. Some want to come in and just say, all right, I checked off going to church this week. Mm-hmm. Some want to come in and serve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like Haley is here, like she wants to be here to serve every single week.
Totally.
You know? So
So the reason I bring this up, and it's not fishing, Dana. I was seriously asking this question.
I was going to throw in Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. So if we look in the text.
It's not fishing. It's leading.
When Jesus says to them, what are you seeking?
Uh-huh.
Notice what they didn't say. They didn't say.
Donut holes?
They didn't say donut holes.
Okay.
They didn't say inner peace. They didn't say community. They didn't say we want to serve. What do they say? When Jesus says, what are you seeking? What do they say to him?
They ask him where he's going.
Yep.
No.
Where are you staying?
Where are you staying?
Mm-hmm.
Whether people believe it or not, that primal desire to make things right, to sacrifice in order to make things right when we realize that we're wrong,
mm-hmm.
is really a desire for God, to be accepted by God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the disciples are not looking at, you know, here's the Lamb of God. Here's everything we've been hoping for in our religion, in our political life, everything we've been longing for, you know, the Messiah, because that's how John speaks of Jesus, that this the one I call the Lamb of God, he is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, where are you staying? They want to know where they can find and have him.
Mm-hmm.
When people come to church, there's actually two things that people want. Not just coming to church, there's the deep desire is to know and to have and to find Jesus, to find God, really, in a way that you feel accepted and wanted. And all the stuff that
That's
we do,
right.
The donut holes, yeah, community, the donut holes, all the stuff that we do is meant for hospitality and welcome.
Mm-hmm.
But those things don't make the church. The programs don't make the church. The activities don't make the church. What makes the church is that, just like Jesus' disciples said, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. The job of the church is to hand over Jesus to those who are seeking him. Now, when a person becomes part of a church, churches have a tendency, because a church, as my grandpa used to say, who was a custodian, is the church is a great place if it just wasn't for all those people, because they're all sinners.
Yeah.
Is to make church about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago when I was starting out in ministry, I read a great book by a guy named Foss called Power Surge. And in there, he talks about a distinction between a membership mentality and a discipleship mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to explain what a membership mentality means, and this is especially for leaders in the church who are painting a vision and mission and values, is that, you know, if you start from the place that you believe that God is here in this place,
mm-hmm.
when we gather together in the word, in the sacrament, in the fellowship where two or three gather, Jesus, if you begin there, then suddenly prayer and scripture and service and taking care of one another and purpose throughout your week takes on a whole different dynamic than if being part of a church means membership. Because membership no longer means discipleship. During Jesus' time, they meant the same thing. To be a member of the church meant that your life was in mortal danger because you're following Jesus, and that was against basically the powers of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You could be put to death for being a Christian. When the Bible was written in that context, following Jesus meant a dangerous life. In modern 21st century America, membership does not mean discipleship. Membership means benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how membership works. Like I don't know. Do you guys, are any of you members of a health club? Anything like that? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm trying to remember some of the health clubs in town. There's like Quartz Plus, mm-hmm. and there's what
it's
else?
Like Planet
is there?
Fitness. Like Planet I'm a member Fitness. Of Planet Fitness. I pay more than $1,000 a month because I want to be able to tan and work out at any of them rather yes. than just one.
Yes. Now, perfect example. Okay, yeah. So Planet Fitness. How do I know that Planet Fitness is a good
service.
Is a good health club? Okay, if I want to be a member of a good health club, I pay my dues every month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can go and use the facility when I want.
Mm-hmm.
Planet Fitness is open 24/7, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I can go anytime that I want. There's no obligation on whether I use the equipment or not. As long as I keep paying my dues,
mm-hmm.
then it's my place to use or not use as I mm-hmm. see fit.
Mm-hmm.
I can go and work out. I don't have to go work out. If I want more personal training, I can sign up with a trainer or take a class, take a spin class. But it's really kind of up to me to pick and choose what I want to do.
Right.
Because by paying a member, by paying the membership, I get benefits. And those benefits are owed to me. And if I don't get the benefits that I want, then I'm going to become unhappy with the health club, mm-hmm. and I'll leave.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The danger with church, because the church in the United States is, you know, multi-denominational, and there is kind of the competitiveness of the market, is to think that the church needs to act on a membership mentality. In other words, Ryan, as long as you keep giving your offerings,
mm-hmm.
then my goal as the pastor is to make sure that I keep you happy.
Okay.
So I will be at your beck and call whenever you need me. And the staff too. That includes, you know, Dana's on staff. You guys used to be on staff. Yep. But we are at the beck and call of all the members. And when they need something, we drop everything to go and take care of their needs. They can come to church now and then. But as long as they keep paying their monthly dues putting the offerings in the plate, they can have services or not have services. But as long as they're happy, then we can say that we have a successful church.
I need you to make me a poster, by the way. I've got to design one.
Right. That's membership mentality.
I'm sorry, you're not paying the right tier for that.
I was going to say, all that's making me think of is like Hulu.
Yeah.
Like when you pay for Hulu, I can be kind of mad that I don't get everything, but also I only want to pay $8 a month. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. I get ads, but I ain't going to pay for the no ads.
But if I want to pay $500, I can get top tier service, everything that's ever been released on streaming services.
Well, and everything that we're talking about is the modern 21st century culture. Mm-hmm. It's been the last 100 years of consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest idol in the United States is materialism.
Uh-huh.
And so more often than not, in fact, I'd say, in every church I've ever served in, there's always been this underpinning. There's both, but there's always been this underpinning, almost this default, that if we stop seeking the reason why we're together, the church will become a club, mm-hmm. like a health club. And it's, and
or
what?
A golf club.
Or a golf, or yeah, a country club, right? Mm-hmm. It's about serving ourselves, and the job of the staff, they're paid to carry out the whims of the members.
Again, you're not paying the right tier.
Yeah,
for your poster services.
You want the gold subscription. You're aiming for the pew subscription right now.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Ouch. Discipleship mentality is a completely different ball game because it doesn't see the church as a club. Mm-hmm. It sees the church as where Jesus is staying, where I can receive the words of life and be empowered and called into a life that has purpose and meaning. And so it's not about what the church can give me. It's about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's a different way of understanding what the church's purpose is. One is about getting stuff. Mm-hmm. The other one is about being fueled or powered up to be witnesses for Jesus in the world. And so when we talk about discipleship at Atonement, we use this acronym. We just started this last year. We have these great new posters that Dana put together. That is the mission and vision of Atonement. Love God, love people. How do we do that? Acts 1:8. You'll receive the Holy Spirit and you'll receive power to be my witnesses throughout the entire world. Power up is the seven marks of discipleship. These are ways that you are empowered to not only seek Jesus in your daily life, but also to hand Jesus over in your daily life, to love God and love people through prayer, by offering of the time, talents, and treasure that you have for the sake of the gospel. That's the O. The W is worship. That worship isn't just, I can, you know, give or take it, but that it's something that's important for my daily life. The E stands for endure, that with Jesus, I can endure all things and am called to endure. There are seasons of endurance where there's going to be suffering. The R stands for reading, that I need to be reading my Bible. The U stands for uplift, that I'm to encourage faith and point to Jesus to people in my life. And P stands for provide, that I'm called to serve. You know, just like Haley saying, she comes here because she loves to serve. Well, that's discipleship. And that's a way different way of understanding the church than membership. Mm-hmm. So, and you know what? Like I said, everything that we do for the sake of hospitality. We want this to be an inviting place, not because we want you to become a member, but because we want you to receive Jesus. Do you see the distinction there too? Mm-hmm. If all you're doing is worrying about getting butts in the seats, you've lost the plot.
Yeah.
The job is to tell people about Jesus and to share Jesus. Because that's what they're really seeking, whether they realize it or not. That's what they're really seeking.
Yeah.
So, does that make sense? Membership mentality versus mm-hmm. discipleship mentality.
Yep, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm.
Good thing to keep in the back of your mind when thinking about church.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Is your church encouraging you to be a member or be a disciple?
Right.
What is your answer, Ryan?
To be a disciple.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time.
Yeah. It's on the walls.
We talked about it for a whole year last year.
And if you want to see those, you can go find them on the Atonement YouTube, or I believe they're also now sermon or podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Go. There's a lot of service. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff happened. There's a mission trip going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're in Chicago. Disciples.
Yep.
Yeah. So
doing all sorts of fun things.
I think you can measure. You know, I've been doing public ministry for over 20 years. So I, for myself, can measure, like, you can feel the Spirit in a place. Mm-hmm. And every time that you feel the Spirit of God, you see a church that's acting discipleship mm-hmm. over membership. Yeah. You're going to have both. I mean, and they really should mean the same thing, that mm-hmm. if you're going to be a member mm-hmm. here at Atonement, it's not, you're going to get benefits. I mean, because we love you and that's what we're about, is loving God and loving people. But it's not the benefits that you deserve because of your membership. It's because of the love of God.
Yeah.
And that becomes contagious, that you can then share with other people too.
Yes. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough.
Can I voice my intrusive thought?
Yes.
So you know how, like, we're decorating for VBS
mm-hmm.
and they're taping all the things to the wall, but like certain things are not sticking to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like the octopus poster keeps falling. Yeah. Why are those mustaches still there? You're telling me nothing we hang up in this building sticks to these walls ever, but those mustaches? So, what were they made of?
So it makes me wonder, like, does Mark and I need to like wear the octopus around on our face for an hour so, and then stick it up there? Stick up
the wall. So we're
that's yeah. I'm surprised yeah. they haven't started running down
like,
the wall.
We haven't even like slightly moved.
Or does it concern you that it's sticking that well and you had it on your face at one point?
Yes, it really is.
Like what will be found under the skin?
As soon as she said it, all of a sudden I started to get this like
it's like somebody
feeling.
Says lice and you just yes. get a little itchy. You're like,
so for those who are wondering what is she talking about? If you watch the Sunday mornings broadcasts, if you watch online, the room that the welcome happens in.
Not the welcome, the pre-show.
The pre-show happens in. There is on the wall the mustaches. I like to say mustache.
The mustaches.
The mustaches that Pastor DJ and Pastor Mark wore during the Power Up series. Mm-hmm. And they're still sticking on the wall.
In the same spot they were placed.
Yeah, yep. The exact same spot. In almost a full
maybe if it
year.
Got, maybe if it was warmer in here.
Do you know what I love about that, of what actually stuck with people, is that sermon series was actually called Level Up. It was about video games.
But the,
and the Power Up were the different mm-hmm. points.
Good.
But Power Up is stuck. So yeah. mm-hmm. Power Up's going to come back again.
Oh.
In the fall?
In the fall, we're going to talk about Power Up, but it's going to be Olympics themed.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Not with Wario and Waluigi?
With Simone Biles and Michael Phelps. Yeah.
Yeah. Katie Ledecky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, no, that, oh boy. Yeah. That, mm-hmm.
Let's just take a moment and just.
I wonder how long it needs to be there before the paint around it begins Ooh. To like fade and then you
and
peel
then we
them
peel off.
Off
and you see they're still there.
All that makes me think of is when this room was blue.
Yep.
There was a picture of a cow on the wall.
Yes. Yes.
And yep. if you lifted it up, it was not the paint color behind it. Right. It was truly like the episode of SpongeBob where they painted around
yes.
the things that were there.
Wasn't the cow meant to hide the...
Oh, yeah, because it was a...
The phone, right?
Phone.
It was something else that was up
something
there.
Something that
yeah,
was there.
The cow hid the...
Yeah.
But the cow box. Was just
So they didn't
perfectly...
paint around the cow. They painted around whatever yeah. was there
I like
before
to say
the cow.
Painted around the cow.
But, like, the cow did fit perfectly yeah. there that it did imply that they painted around the
was
cow.
Was that your cow?
I think I have it at home now.
Did you? Yeah.
Wait, that's from San Francisco.
That was from San Francisco. We... So on one of the little service things that we had to do, we went to Haight and Ashbury in San Francisco, and we got, I can't remember, was it $20 or something like that? And we had to go bless somebody with that $20. So one of the people that we gave the $20 to was a guy who painted those pictures, and it was like an abstract cow, mm. right?
Yeah, the cow was like pink and polka dotted really cool. and striped.
Cool cow. So he was selling all his paintings. And so as we were talking to him, he's like, yeah, I got these are my paintings. This is how I live. You know, he's homeless. He said, I'm out of paint right now, but when I get some more, then I can make some more, you know, draw some more paintings and make some more money. So we went in and gave him the money to went in and did we buy him the paint? I can't remember. But anyway, we got him paint, and mm-hmm. then in return, he gave us one of his cow pictures.
You bought him paint. I remember that. Yeah. I remember the story now.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That guy was a really cool. good artist,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was cool stuff.
I always yeah. wondered what happened to the cow.
I think I have him at home.
Ryan gave him a good home.
Yep.
But back to your original question, I don't know if anything is going to take those mustaches down.
I don't know.
It'll Holy be there moly. With the
we'll see.
Cockroaches and the Twinkies.
I just am amazed.
End of the world.
That they just like haven't even started to curl like they're gonna come off.
Oh, right?
Like they are just
they're there.
And it is colder in here usually, but like come on.
Well, that's also on a flat surface. I'm assuming the octopus is going on the brick or not. Because if it's going on the brick, yeah. that's why it doesn't want to stick.
No, it's in the fireside.
Okay. But they're on a flat surface, fine. So they'll stay forever.
The epoxy underneath is really like Gorilla Glue.
Yeah.
Just sets.
So those were actually permanent. You were yeah. not supposed yeah. to remove them after application.
That's why you don't have to shave under your nose right. anymore.
Well, and my joke every time taking it off was going, ow! But no, I wasn't joking because it
just,
was...
Just a little wax strip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny.
My top lip is very smooth.
That's good.
Good stuff.
All right. Should we call her good?
Sure. Yep.
For this episode?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Ryan, would you please pray for
I
us?
I would.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for these three people that I get to get together with every once in a while and have some fun, but also talk about some serious stuff. Lord, I pray that the people who are listening, whether they're members here at Atonement or they're members somewhere else or they're seeking to be members somewhere else, that they would not be members, but they would be disciples, that they would go to church and get involved in some way, whether that would be going on a mission trip or serving in some capacity, Lord. I pray that they would find something deeper and something that draws them closer to you within their church. And so, God, again, I thank you for DJ and for Sarah and for Dana. And, Lord, I pray blessings on everyone listening to this episode. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us for this episode of That Podcast. Don't forget that you can find us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either here at Atonement, 4601 South University Drive in Fargo, or online at atonement.live or atonementfargo.org. We also have a YouTube channel where you can find our services live or a wide variety of resources. Again, that's YouTube, atonement.live, or atonementfargo.org. So for all of us here at Atonement, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another riveting episode of That Podcast.